down the road in Rainsville for several years, and so I'm familiar with the area. But to hear them talk, Scottsboro and Fort Payne, were just suburbs of Rainsville. I think it's the other way around now that I've been to all three places. But it is a delight and a beautiful city. We were surprised by the beautiful scenery as we were driving in on 35, and we're just delighted to be here. When I speak before an audience of people that I've never spoken, I feel like I need to warn you. I speak pretty rapidly when I get cranked up in a lesson, and so I normally talk about 250 words a minute with gust up to 440. So just be aware of that and hang on and tighten your seatbelt. I need to begin with an important announcement. The World Health Organization, better known as WHO, has determined that dogs cannot transmit COVID-19, nor can humans transmit COVID-19 to dogs. So all the dogs that have been previously quarantined have now been released. What I'm saying is, who let the dogs out? Feel free to groan. That's what I get at home. It's a whole lot better than crickets. I am, if you've looked at the schedule, you know that my topic tonight is to tear off the label, and you probably have wondered where we're going with that. So I want to build a foundation for our discussion tonight. I hope you brought an Old Testament with you or want to be looking at some of those references as well. But I'm going to begin with just kind of setting up what we want to accomplish in this study in the next few minutes. Did you know that as a teenager, Walt Disney was told by a newspaper editor that he was not creative, that he did not have a good imagination? And later he was told by someone who was a superior to him in a place of business that no one would have the least bit of interest in hearing about the adventures of a rat. You know who was right and who was wrong in that particular situation. Lucille Ball was told that she didn't have any acting skills and that she would do very well for herself if she would decide some other profession than show business. Winston Churchill was not thought of as a good student. And to verify what some had thought of him, he sure enough failed twice the entrance exams to the Royal Military College, Sandhurst. I hope that we appreciate the common denominator in the success of all these people is that they decided to tear off the negative labels. They decided to ignore what people had said about them and the labels that had been put on them, and some of them even from a very young age. And that's one of the most difficult things, I think, that we can do, even in the kingdom of Christ, is to make sure that we are achieving what God wants us to achieve and that we're not allowing our potential to be defined by what other people may think about us, either individually or collectively as the body of Christ. So that's where we're really going with this study tonight. And each of the people that I just mentioned, they all decided there was a conscious choice to tear off those negative labels and to not be defined or refined by them. And because they thought better than what others had said of them, then they lived far better than what anyone had ever imagined and what others had said. I'm afraid if we're not very careful, we can do the same thing today. We can wear the label that people have put on us, telling us what we can and cannot become and what we can and cannot accomplish. I've been preaching long enough to see that played out in reality, in real life, over and over again. I see people who have tremendous potential and could do great things in God's kingdom if only they would allow the storehouse of their mind to be opened. And I don't mean open to aberrant doctrine. I mean open to the potential, the seeds of greatness that God has put in all of his people. And once we come to understand that, I think it'll make a difference. It will be a brand new day in our Christian walk. And so many times those labels are not, that people put on us, are not in agreement with what God says the basic worth of an individual who has been created in the very image of God himself. I like the poster that I saw many, many years ago of a little child, obviously from a poverty area in a third world country, and standing in front of a tar paper shack. I mean, you could just see poverty kind of bleeding off of this poor little girl. But the caption said, "God made me and God don't make no junk." And I like that. And I think that we need to have a little bit of that even in our own Christian existence. Because if we don't know better, we'll wear the labels that we allow other people to put on us to put a definite cap, a ceiling on our potential and what we can do for God. And if we keep those labels on long enough, guess what? They'll become so ingrained in our thinking that we'll become what people have said rather than what God has said that we should be and that we should be doing. I read about a man who was told by his high school counselor that he wasn't talented, that he ought to focus on the lowest skilled job that he could find, and that's what he ought to set his sights on. Just be content with that. That's the best you'll ever do. Well, the counselor obviously had done exactly what we're talking about tonight. He'd stuck a label on that young man of below average, of barely getting by, not talented, no skill, no particular aptitude for anything. Now, can you imagine how you'd feel if you were in his shoes? And at a very, very early age, someone who is supposed to be a professional has so defined you and restricted your potential in life as to say, this guy isn't going to accomplish anything. And so you need to be content with the lowest skilled job that you can possibly find. So he wore that label year after year, thinking all the while, I'm not that smart. I just don't have what it takes to go very far in life. And so I'm going to have to stay content to live on the lowest rung of the ladder of success. So after high school, he got a job, sure enough, at a local factory. And he stayed at the lowest level in that particular job for years, just as he had always been told, with no aspirations for upward mobility. One day that factory closed. So he had to go across town and apply in another factory. And at that company, one of the policies was that you had to take, this is back years ago, but the policy was you had to take an IQ test. They wanted to be able to calibrate a person's intelligence and hopefully fit them to the right job. And so the guy took the IQ test, and he scored in the genius level. Now think about that. All these years, he had been defined and confined by what someone had said about him as a young boy. So the owner called him in and said, what in the world are you doing applying for this low-level position? You scored higher on this test than anyone has in our 63-year history. And it was that day that the stronghold was broken in that man's mind. He removed the label that had held him back all those years. Now, skip to the end. He eventually started his own company, went on to invent several products that are now patented and in the marketplace. Just as this man did, I'm just telling you tonight that if you're going to achieve the full potential that God has placed in each one of us, then you're going to have to remove the negative labels that are holding you back, whether they were placed there by yourself or by someone else. To live better, and this is probably the premise statement of this lesson, so if you forget everything else we've talked about tonight, I hope you'll go home with this. To live better, you first have to think better. And if you want the Bible for that, here it is. Proverbs 23:7. Solomon said, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. So our thinking, our attitudes about ourselves and about life and certainly about God and why God has placed us here, those are the things that are going to determine whether we reach high or whether we just settle for low in regards to our potential in life. To live better, we have to think better. And so I'm just asking you tonight, has someone convinced you that you've reached your limit, that you've gone as far as that you can go? Or maybe, and I run into this all the time, I'm sure Terry does, that you've made too many mistakes already, and that you'll never be able to outrun or overcome your checkered past. I talk to people all the time that have been sold that bill of goods by someone who told them there's just too much garbage, too much trash in your past, and you'll never be able to overcome it. Has somebody told you that you're all washed up, that you'll never accomplish your dreams, and that you don't have any viable resources? I am begging you, I drove a long ways to beg you tonight to not wear any of those labels. Don't allow those labels to define you. In fact, in the text that was read a moment ago in John chapter 1, verse 46, is one of the most fascinating but briefest discussions that you'll find anywhere in Scripture. John 1:46 is where Nathanael asked a question, remember, about the Son of God himself. And what he said, can any good thing come out of Nazareth? That was not intended to be a compliment. Apparently, and a little bit of research will indicate this for you, that Nazareth was such a nondescript, one-horse kind of town that the popular misconception of the day was that nothing good, and certainly not the Messiah of the universe, could ever come out of Nazareth. Can any good thing come from Nazareth? That's a label, folks. I like the fact that Scripture includes Philip's reply. Philip was there, he heard the question, and he replied, "Come and see." That's another way of saying, if you don't believe he is who he claims to be, you come and check him out yourself. You come and see what this man is teaching, what he's saying, and how he is interacting with people. Remember, people do not determine your destiny. God does. And God is the one who is in control. And once we realize that, I think a new day will dawn in our Christian lives. So words and labels, which of course are comprised of words, are like weeds. If you dwell on them long enough, guess what? They'll take root and they'll come up, and you will reap a bitter harvest in your life if you allow those kinds of thoughts and seeds to germinate. It's been said, and I think there's some viability to this, it's been said that reputation is what other people think you are, and character is what God and you know you are, what you really are on the inside. But what happens when you start to believe, and I mean really believe, what other people are saying about you? What happens then? Can you still be used in God's service if you buy into what others are saying about you? Everybody who's any kind of success in life, I guarantee you, has had to remove some kind of label that was put on them at some point in their lives. I mean, every one of us tonight who are sitting in this auditorium, I guarantee you that we've been there someplace at some time. If not, it's going to happen. The reality is, wrong labels can keep you from fulfilling your destiny. So don't go the next 20 years allowing negative comments to hold you back. You are not what people say you are. You are what and who God says you are. He has the defining decision. People will label you as not good enough, too slow, too old. You've already made too many mistakes. Well, let me tell you something. When you became a child of God, when you became a Christian, God put some new labels on you. And all you got to do is just flip through this owner's manual, the Bible, and you'll see what some of those labels are, like strong and gifted. I spoke a couple of Wednesday nights ago in Atlanta, and they asked me to speak about finding our gift, our talents in the kingdom. And so we went to Romans 12, 6 through 8. There's 7 of them there. And I told those folks, I said, you'll find yourself somewhere in that list. You may have only one of these gifts or talents, and you may have more than one. But I guarantee you, if you're looking for meaning and purpose and even happiness in your life, the only way you're going to find it is allow God to define your life by making sure that every day you've committed yourself to His service. And so those thoughts, seeing yourself defined the way God's Word defines you, will help you live better. So again, I say, every one of us has some labels, and I mean every one of us has some labels that are holding us back. Maybe it was what a coach said. Might have been what a counselor said. And sometimes, regrettably, it may even be negative comments were made to us or about us by our own parents. Listen to me now. The only power that a label has over you is the power that you give it. Now, I hope that you'll take that home with you as well. If you remove it, if you quit dwelling on it, quit acting like it's the truth, then that label will not affect you any longer. A man told about how he overheard his junior high teacher tell his mother that he was a slow learner. Now that's not, you know, a great insult, but still, he heard that. And he allowed it to define him intellectually in terms of his potential in life. And so for 30 years, he wore that label around and never had a good job and never had any real success. He just floundered through life under the weight of that negative label. Then there was a friend that came that knew him well enough to speak frankly with him. And he said, "Listen, it's time that you remove that label." Now, that teacher may have been sincere when she said that you were a slow learner. She may have made that assessment based on where you were at the time and what she knew about you. But let me tell you, she doesn't know who you are now. And she certainly doesn't know what God has put in you. If you're going to become who you were created to become, then you're going to have to say, "No thanks, I am not wearing that slow learner label anymore." Now, he said that may have been her opinion, but you can tell her, I have another opinion that comes from my Creator, and He says that I have the mind of Christ, and if I follow Him, then I'm full of wisdom, and I can fulfill my God-given destiny. I heard about a high school student who went to her youth minister and said, "Will you pray for me that I can make C's on my final exams?" And the youth minister was kind of surprised by the request. He said, why in the world should we be praying for C's and not A's? She said, oh, no, you don't understand. She said, my high school counselor told me that I'm just a C student. You see what's happened there, don't you? She has been defined. There's been a ceiling that's been placed on that little lady, and she didn't know better. Somebody had stuck a label on her, and she was wearing it around like it was truth. And that's why some people, I'm not a professional counselor, but I know this, and I know enough about the psychological makeup of people to know that some people have difficulty breaking an addiction because they're wearing the addict label. The real battle is you see, it's taking place in our mind. If you think you're an addict, then you're going to live like an addict. You have to change the label. And God says, and this is why the gospel is known as good news, God says that, guess what? In Christ, you've been set free. Two of the greatest verses in all the New Testament, in my estimation, and I'm the one speaking, so I get to say it. One of them, of course, is John chapter 8, verse 32, where Jesus says, you shall know the truth, and the truth will make you free. Four verses later, in that same chapter, in verse 36, he said, therefore, and it's almost as if he's waited just a little while to give what he said in verse 32 about the truth making you free, to give it greater impact, greater strength, because in verse 36 he says, therefore, if the Son has made you free, you shall be free indeed. That is, you haven't known real liberty. You haven't known real emancipation from sin and from the thinking of the world until the Son of God has set you free. So I'm just asking you tonight, don't go the next 20 years wearing a label that somebody has put on you. Because if you're in Christ tonight, then you have been emancipated from the bondage of sin, and you don't have to wear any other label ever again. You are a child of God. You are a son or a daughter of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and we ought to start acting like it. Now, I don't mean that we're going around braggadociously, but I'm saying we need to recognize that our identity is not in the world, and it isn't in what the world says about us as God's people. Our identity is in the Lord Jesus Christ. And once we have that mind of Christ in us, that Paul talked about at length in Philippians 2:5, again, it'll make a constructive, positive difference in the way we live our lives. Let me just say this, and I think everybody will be in tacit agreement on this point. We place far too much emphasis on physical appearance in our culture. I heard about a man who was described like this. He is breathtakingly unattractive. Well, some people in the world are that way. Some of you are old enough to remember Phyllis Diller. Someone described Phyllis Diller like this. She was born ugly and then somebody scared her. Well, guess what? Not everybody in the world is beautiful, either from a male or a female perspective. People may have told you that you're too small, you're too quiet, you don't have a good personality. But you need to remember that God is the one who made you. And God doesn't make any mistakes. I much prefer the label found in Psalm 139 in verse 14, where David said, I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Well, you haven't seen me in the mirror, have you? No, it doesn't matter. Whoever you are, if you are a creation of God, and that gets us all, you are fearfully and wonderfully made. So remember that. You are no accident. You are the perfect shape and color and size for what God has planned for you. So remove the too big, too short, too unattractive labels and wear the scriptural label, fearfully and wonderfully made. Let me give you a biblical example. And thank you for your patience in building this foundation. Now, let's look at some scripture to verify what we've been talking about. Here's a beautiful illustration, a powerful illustration of the point that I've been trying to make tonight. When the prophet Samuel came to anoint one of Jesse's sons as the next king of Israel, the Bible record tells us that Jesse didn't even bother to call in his son David, who was out in the fields where he was taking care of the sheep. Now, Jesse must have thought, I know it won't be David because he's too small, too young, not talented, and certainly not as smart as his brothers. See, David had all those negative labels already put on him by his own father. And it gets worse, folks. You talk about tension in a father-son relationship. Here it is, right here in Scripture. Scripture says that when Samuel saw Eliab, That was David's oldest brother. If you remember the chronology and the birth order of all of Jesse's sons, when Samuel, who was the one who was looking for the next king of Israel, saw Eliab, the Bible says that he was impressed by his outward appearance. I guess he just looked like king material, kind of like Saul did, you know, who was head and shoulders above the crowd. Man, there goes our next king. Well, no, that's not the way it played out. Because the Lord immediately said, no, it's not him, and that's not who I'm looking for. Six more sons of Jesse were paraded before Samuel, and each time Samuel said, no, not this one, not this one, and not this one. And Samuel finally came to the end of the line, and he asked Jesse, by the way, do you have any more sons? And Jesse's reply was, probably while shaking his head, he said, well, my youngest son David is out in the fields tending sheep, but I know it's not him. Listen to me now. God does not label people nor evaluate people the way people do. And we ought to thank God every day for that fact. In fact, right here in that same context, in 1 Samuel, check it out for yourself. 1 Samuel 16, verse 7. As one king is being rejected, and Samuel is explaining why, the Bible says that while man looks at the outward appearance, most of you could probably finish this, God looks at the heart. Our evaluation is always or almost always by judging the book by its cover. So we evaluate people sometimes by the color of their skin, sometimes by the slant of the eye, sometimes by how well or how poorly they're dressed. But all of those things are superficial, and as God's people, we all understand that. But aren't we glad that God looks at the heart? That God doesn't label us by he's too short, she's too ugly, or any of those things. All of that is superficial because it is world-based. And so when Samuel finally came to the end of the line and he said, do you have any more sons? And Jesse said, well, yeah, we've got David out tending the sheep. God placed his blessing and his anointing on David that day. That's because God knows what we are capable of. That's why he looks at the heart. And he can see the seeds of greatness that he has placed in every one of his people. It's so easy to let what someone has spoken over us keep us from believing in our God-given potential. Anyway, you know, as that Old Testament account continues, David walked in and Samuel took one look at him and said, that's him. That right there is the next king of Israel. And right then and there, watch this carefully. David had to make the decision that I'm asking each of you to make tonight. He had to peel off the negative labels that he had heard 1,000 times as he was growing up. Here's an interesting side note, by the way, to that Old Testament saga. I think what's really interesting is that David's brothers, even though they were there present and saw David anointed as the next king of Israel, 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse 13, if you want to check the verification on that, they still tried to go back and stick their loser labels on their little brother. So they know that he is destined to be the next king. Didn't make any difference. Siblings are that way. He's still the baby brother. And so they continue sticking the labels on him. And so that's what happened. Later, as you'll recall, when David left the shepherd fields to visit his brothers, where the army had gathered to fight the Philistines, his oldest brother, again, it was Eliab, said, David, what are you doing? You remember that? David, what are you doing here? And with whom have you left those sheep that you're supposed to be tending? What was Eliab doing? He was sticking all those same loser labels back on his little brother, the inferior label, especially the irresponsible label, the not good enough label. And David could have said, you know what? You're right. You're exactly right. I'll get back to the sheep. That's where I belong. I was born a shepherd. I'll die a shepherd. He could have accepted and worn those old labels and let them hold him back. But this time David had a different attitude. What he did say, and I'm boiling this down and synopsizing it, he said, Eliab, what you say about me doesn't change what God has said about me. I've gotten rid of all those old labels. The creator of the universe has breathed new life into me, has placed new labels on me. And the labels that I wear now are giant killer, more than a conqueror, destined for greatness, next king of Israel. And then you remember the Bible says that David went out into the valley of Elah and he slew that 9.5-foot giant. And in doing that, he proved all of his detractors to be wrong. Everyone who had tried to stick a label on David was proven wrong by what David did in the Valley of Elah. When all the other Israelite, the trained warriors in the Israelite army were shaking in their boots, David went out and he slew the giant. I am suggesting tonight that that's what you and I have to do as well in our lives. What we're doing here tonight is not some kind of shallow psychological exercise where we tell ourselves we just need to do more self-talk. You know, we just need to look into a mirror and say, I'm not going to wear those labels that have been put on me my whole life. Just doing that, folks, is superficial and it will not accomplish much. What we have to do is then go out and prove and live your life in such a way that you prove your detractors to be wrong. So if people have been looking at you and putting the loser label on you, refuse to wear it. And then show them by the way you serve God that they've been wrong all the time about their evaluation of you. So I'm just asking, will you dare do what David did? And will you remove the negative labels? Quit dwelling on what your mama said, what a jealous sister said, what a cranky coworker said, or even what a cynical neighbor said. You are not what people say you are. You are who God says you are. And they cannot stop the destiny that God has in mind for you. Why not start wearing some labels like David did, like giant killer and difference maker? Here's an illustration from secular history. Dale Brown, legendary basketball coach at LSU, was once speaking to a group of military men on a military base in California. And when he finished, a young man walked up to him to introduce himself. And that young man stood in at about almost 7 feet tall, weighed about 250 pounds. And the young man, after introducing himself to Coach Brown, said, Coach Brown, I want to try out for the basketball team here on the military base. But despite his almost 7 foot stature, he said, I can't dunk a basketball. I can barely jump. And when I run up and down the court, my legs tire out so quickly that I can only play a few minutes at a time. Well, Coach Brown asked him, how long have you been in the military, son? As he gazed up at him and then down at his size 17 shoes. And the young man said, I'm not in the military, coach. My father is. I'm 13 years old. Coach Brown then did one of the smartest things he's ever done in his coaching career. He decided to take that young man under his wing. And he said, when I get back to Louisiana, I'm going to send you my training program, and it will strengthen your legs, it will increase your endurance, and if you will stick with that program, it is guaranteed to do all of those things for you, and all of those things that you say right now are lacking in your game. And so sure enough, 3 months later, Coach Brown got a letter from that young man, and the letter said in essence, Coach Brown, I've done everything you asked me to do. I've spent hours and hours in the gym and in the weight room working out, and my basketball coach just cut me from the team. He's told me that I'm too big, too slow, too clumsy, that I'll never be able to play basketball. Did you see that? You saw what happened. Nothing but negative labels. Well, Coach Brown wrote him back and said, in effect, son, if you'll just keep working out and keep giving it your best every day and keep asking God to help you, Coach Brown was a believer, he said he will get you to where you're supposed to be. Now, watch this now. That young man had a decision to make. Am I going to wear those negative labels for the rest of my life, too big, too slow, too clumsy, or am I going to follow the dream that I feel that God has placed in my heart, and am I going to think better and therefore live better? Well, he decided to remove the negative labels. That young man's name, as most of you perhaps have already surmised, is Shaquille O'Neal. And he wound up going to LSU and playing basketball for Coach Brown, where he broke all the LSU records and became one of the greatest basketball players who's ever played the game, either college or pro. By the way, ironically, today, right in front of the Tigers basketball practice facility, there is a bronze statue of Shaq, that clumsy kid who could not jump, dunking a basketball. You see, he proved his detractors to be wrong, but it started by a refusal to wear the label that had been put on him by a coach. So if he had chosen to wear those negative labels that others had put on him, we wouldn't still be talking about him today. In the pages of the Old Testament, a lady named Rachel died while giving birth to her second son. Now, there were difficulties and complications in the labor and delivery, And the Bible describes pretty much graphically for us so much pain and agony associated with the birth of that son. Any woman in this audience tonight who has given birth can tell you there's plenty of pain and agony in a natural one that is uncomplicated. Well, this poor lady had all kinds of difficulties and complications, and she died. She died giving birth. And the Bible actually tells us, it gives us this divine insight that just before she died, as she was giving birth, she named that son Ben-Oni, which means son of my sorrow. Can you imagine that? Son of my sorrow, sticking that kind of name on a newborn baby. She labeled him based on what she had experienced. Now, can you imagine? Now this innocent little boy is going to go through life being called son of my sorrow. That's like saying, son, every time I look at you, I want to cry. That is not a compliment, is it? Sometimes people put a label on you, and I need to include this before we quit tonight. They'll put a label on you not because of anything you've done, but because of the pain and the heartache that they've experienced. Hurting people hurt other people. Remember that. Bitter people are quick to stick negative labels on other people that some of them will wear for the rest of their lives. Well, the Bible continues and says, a few minutes after Rachel died, her husband Jacob came in. That's what husbands do when the women are doing all the hard work. They get to come in later. And that's what Jacob did. He came rushing in. And the midwife was holding that baby, and she handed him to Jacob, saying, this is your son, Ben-Oni, son of sorrow. And when Jacob heard that, something came over him. And he rose up and said, no, that is not his name. No matter what he or his mother has been through, my son is not going to go through life being called son of sorrow. His name will be Benjamin, which means son of strength, son of power, son of my right hand. And sure enough, you know the biblical record, Benjamin grew up to become a great leader in Israel. I mean, out of his family lineage came all the kings of Israel, one king after another. And that's because God had a great destiny for Benjamin to fulfill. And he knew that if he went through life wearing that son of sorrow label, that he would never become what he was created to become. And that's when God stepped in and said, no, he's not wearing that label. He is not a son of sorrow, a son of defeat. He's not a man of disappointment. Benjamin is a son of destiny. This child has the seeds of greatness in him. And so his name is going to be son of strength. That's a whole lot better way to start out life, isn't it? With a name, an appellation like that. And that's because God knows how powerful names and labels really are. I hope we do as well. I've learned that people can call you many different things, but you are not what people call you. You are, watch this carefully, you are what you have chosen to answer to. My friend Jerry Barber, who's been preaching for many, many years, I remember him saying a long, long time ago, however you pronounce your own name, that's always right. You know, and sometimes you wonder, you see somebody's name spelled out, you know, how in the world did they pronounce it? Well, they can tell you because they're the ones who's wearing that name. And I'm telling you tonight that you are in life whatever you have chosen to answer to, and not some label that people have assigned to you. Don't answer to victim. What about answering instead to victor? Don't answer to child of sorrow. How about child of the king? So the labels and the corresponding bondage from the past are no longer going to have an effect on you, because you made the conscious decision of will that you're going to tear off the label, and that you're going to be everything that God will have you to be, and that God knows you can be, because he's the one who put the seeds of accomplishment in you. So I guess I'm saying to you good people tonight that Solomon was right all along. As a man thinks in his heart, so is he. Let's think better. Let's think God thoughts. Let's think about ourselves the way God would have us to think about ourselves. And when we learn to think better, we have God's assurance that we will live better. There's only one name that you need to wear tonight. And if you're not wearing that name, we're going to sing a song to encourage you to make this the moment in your life when you tear off the sinner label and put on this name. is found in Acts 11, verse 26, where the Bible simply but profoundly says, "And the disciples were called Christians first at Antioch." And folks, if you're not a Christian tonight, there is no better, no greater, more abundant life that you could ever possibly live than as a child of the King. If you're not a child of God, you know that your faith should move you to repentant, sincere sorrow for the way that you've lived, with a corresponding determination that you're not going to live that way anymore, and then the courage to confess Jesus as the Son of God, and then allow us to immerse you in water where you contact His redeeming blood, and He will wipe away every sin that's on your record. And if you're a child of God who's going astray and needs to come home and make a second run at Calvary, we hope you'll do that. Put the label Christian on your heart and on your life tonight while we stand and while we sing.